This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
For miles around, you'll hear them sing. Roll out the barrel, we'll have a barrel of fun. Roll out.
Rock and roll.
All right.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Hot Springs, Arkansas. Right now, we're inside Superior Bathhouse Brewery with Rose Reichardt, the owner and visionary behind the Brew World. Hi.
So nice to see you again, Tom.
I know. It's been, what, 4 years?
4 years at least, yeah.
So what's changed in your world? What have been some of the coolest evolutions?
Gosh, well, you know, this business has been open for 7 years now, and I think every year we've had some kind of major breakthrough, either, you know, a new piece of equipment or a new renovation project. But the last few years, I would say the most exciting thing since I saw you last is that our growth and our capacity led to a scenario where I had to purchase a larger brew house to keep up with our demand here on site. It's actually the same facility, but we pulled out our existing brewery and put in a larger, more automated one so that we could put out more beer.
Wow. So how about distribution? How wide and far are you going now?
We're actually distributing statewide. Our output is still pretty small quantity-wise just because of the logistic of a historic building. I can only fit so many tanks, but
right.
Yeah, we've entered into a statewide distribution agreement, and we send kegs all over the state. So if you're traveling around Arkansas, you may be lucky enough to see one of our tap handles. We put out the most we can, but you know, there's only so much suds we can produce on a small basis.
So people look for your label, your logo? Yeah.
I like to think they do, yeah. Yeah.
Tell us about what has become so far the most iconic beer or brew that you guys make, that people associate with you, and why?
I would say our most popular beer right now for the beer nerds is our Space Force. It is a hazy IPA made with blood orange puree. You know, hazy IPAs are a style that really popped probably in 2017, 2016.
Yeah.
And I first had one on a trip to San Diego a few years ago. Kind of fell in love with the style. So we brought that back and decided that would be... We were one of the first hazy IPAs here in Arkansas. Not the first, but, you know, we like to stay on trend with, you know, what kind of beers people are looking for, especially if they're beer travelers.
And it has that tangy orange flavor?
It is. It definitely has a citrus note, and the hops that we use are Galaxy hops that have a citrus flavor as well. So definitely double the citrus, and it's hazy. What that means is we don't filter it in any way, but the process of making it creates proteins that stay suspended in the beer. It doesn't get crystal clear like a domestic beer. So it kind of gives a nice, you know, mouthfeel, good body when you're drinking it. It just adds to the flavor. Every bit that hits your mouth, hits your tongue, is kind of a party flavor, so that's why people love it.
So to go in your beer world, do you sell growlers? Do you can beers? How can you get it?
Well, the best way to get our beer is to come here to the source. Again, we're a small brewery, so we're not canning or packaging or bottling. We do send kegs statewide, but our most popular way locally is to take growlers home. We have the 64-ounce growler, which is a great way to take fresh beer back with you. We refill a lot of growlers for our locals, but the majority of our growlers are one way. So I think people who are visiting Hot Springs are taking them as souvenirs. So I like to think my growlers are all over the world right now.
Continuing the journey.
Yeah, I love that. They're like my little soldiers out in the world.
Give me one more special rose beer that you really enjoy and people like.
I've been really excited about some mixed fermentation beers we're working on. Mixed fermentation means we're using different yeasts and potentially bacteria.
Multiple yeasts within one,
and that adds layers of flavor. But what I'm drinking right now is our Fordyce Funk, I call it, and we have a special tank. You've met Hank the Tank in the past, but Hank the Tank is not temperature controlled. He's not a fancy tank, but it allows us to let beer sit for a long period of time. It's kind of our sleeper tank. And a funny thing about this year is we had brewed this particular beer in January, expecting it to be ready to go around March, and then the pandemic kind of came to fruition right about mid-March. We were closed for a couple months, and then as we reopened, it was kind of slow going. We were moving a lot less beer than usual. So it gave us the opportunity to let that one really sit and mature. and what condition.
What happened?
It turned out really great. The longer these beers sit, you get more complex flavors, funkier, you get that horse blanket kind of flavor that the Brettanomyces produces, and a tang, you know, the pH starts to drop, almost like a sour, like a soured beer. It's very complex, and part of that was we were able to sit on it for about 6 months, 7 months.
So as a brewster, remember the name?
Brewster. Yeah. You're the one who taught me that, yeah. Too, actually.
Okay, as a brewster, It entails patience, right? And you have people out front demanding beer, and you're holding back some stuff. Is it hard for you to do that?
It can be hard. I mean, you know, beer, best case scenario, maybe 10 to 14 days from brew day to glass. But most beers are better with a little bit more conditioning time.
But you're a small brewery, like you alluded to earlier, you have a finite, limited capacity,
exactly.
So it must be really torturous for you.
It can be. We have about 11 tanks, and that's how we feed 18 different taps. But, yeah, there are times when we run out of one of our most popular beers, and we just cannot speed it up. Beer can wait on us, but we cannot wait on the beer.
Okay, so here we are in the middle of bizarro COVID-19 world, and you had closed, right?
Yes.
Then you found a way to remodel and open. How did you make it COVID safe?
Well, we're just trying to follow the guideline as well as we can. You know, we've had to reduce our seating capacity to 66% is what Arkansas is allowing at the moment. We do a ton of masks, sanitizing, extra staff, spreading people out. Instead of waiting inside, we let people wait down the sidewalks so they can keep 6 feet apart. And that, you know, just everything we can do to... It's working out okay, but you know, I sure wish things were back to normal, but
right.
I think everyone can say that.
And financially, are you doing okay?
You know, we're catching up. We are down from last year. Yeah, I mean, no one expected this to hit, but we lost two of our biggest months of the year. Spring break, March. We closed on St. Patrick's Day, which was probably a bit of a slap in the face, but for a beer-oriented business. But it kind of highlights how serious everything is and was and still continues to be.
So going forward, what do you vision? What are your best hope for an economic model that will continue to work?
We're just hoping to keep growing. We've had growth year after year. And as I said, every year we added kind of a major project to the business, layered, something went well, add some more. So the next project, and I probably told this to you 4 years ago too, our next project is to build an outdoor dining area. But we're going through the process of working with the national park. We are on federal property. We're on a historic, very historic area, so it's a bit of a negotiation to determine, got an ambulance going by. It's a bit of a negotiation process to determine what we're allowed to build, what furnishings we're allowed to have, lighting, sound, everything. So that's kind of the story of my life, especially being in a historic property like this on federal property in a highly regulated alcohol producing business is lots of negotiation.
You're the only brewery in a national park in America, right?
Yes, we are the only new brewery in a national park. There is a winery, I believe, as well, somewhere out west, but I have not been there.
That's really cool. Okay, so it seemed to me that one of your best short-term hopes would be little growler ambassadors going out across the state with a nice logo on them.
Absolutely, yeah, the branded. We sell a lot of T-shirts and growlers, and we try to have fun with that. A new design every month or two, we'll bring out a new T-shirt, a new growler, a new glassware, and people have started to collect them because we have visitors who come year after year on their family vacation. Maybe they're visiting grandma nearby, whatever, and then they have to get the latest glass. So, you know, I love to think of how many, like you said, how many ambassadors I have out in the world.
Yeah. Okay. Rose, to learn more about your world, where would you direct someone?
You could certainly start at superiorbathhouse.com. That's two H's. Or find us on Facebook or Instagram, the usual places. And my name is Rose Schweikart. I'm the owner of Superior Bathhouse Brewery in historic Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Cool. And I'm Tom Wilmer reporting Hot Springs, Arkansas. We'll see you here.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.